Thank you, Chris. Yeah, this guy. Oh, my word. I get emotional just thinking about the blessing Chris has been to me. But thank you, Chris. You said everything I asked you to say. I appreciate it. It's a real privilege to be with you today. It really is. Just love you guys, man. Your worship's awesome. Gosh, so cool. Really great to be here. I'm aware of time. I'm going to be trying my best to be quick because I do feel like there's something for us this morning that the Lord would love to impart. But Eugene asked me to speak on power evangelism. Quite a big word. I was like, oh my word, Eugene, could you not give me something more in my wheelhouse? Like, just, you know, maybe pastoring or counseling, you know, I could wing something there. Power evangelism, I thought, yo, okay. Yes, Lord, may I learn as well from what I'm studying to bring to you. I just want to say, guys, that evangelism is one of my weakest muscles. You can see I'm quite thin. Spiritually, evangelism and power evangelism is one of my weakest muscles, but I'm keen to learn. Amen. So learn with me this morning. As I looked through scripture, I was very encouraged, and I was like, yes, Lord, count me in with this. So we're going to go through some things together, and then I'll give some examples from scripture on what power evangelism is, and then we're going to ask for God to touch us. Okay, so Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 to 14. Let's read this together. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. Isn't that amazing? So firstly, the power of God gives us a lot. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transformed us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Friends, right now in the world, there are two kingdoms. Kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of the Son, Jesus Christ. Don't be deceived. Nothing else matters in this world except understanding which kingdom I'm in and desiring to be in the right one. Okay. Kingdom of darkness. We know about it. It's crazy to be. Listen to this as a scripture. Ephesians chapter 2. For you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, which is the devil. The spirit is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. When you and I get born into this world, we are born deserving of wrath. I don't care how good you are. I don't care what philanthropist you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how kind you are. The reality is you're in the kingdom of darkness, and there's absolutely nothing you can do to get yourself out of that. Your best works, your best face will not change that. But there's a kingdom of light as well. There's a kingdom of light, and we know about this kingdom. This kingdom is the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of his Son. And friends, if you are saved this morning, you are in the kingdom of God with me. How awesome is that? And where we were destined for hell, apparently you were listening to a powerful message on the king of heaven and hell last week. Is that right? So where we were destined for hell, the Lord and his grace saved us and brought us into the kingdom of his Son. Isn't that amazing? And suddenly now we have inheritance, friends. We have hope. We have Holy Spirit. We have a future. We have a calling. We have a purpose. And we have a king in this kingdom. Isn't that amazing? We have this amazing king called Jesus. And Jesus is powerful. He is powerful. And this kingdom is based on the power of Jesus. If we want to walk in power, we must walk with Jesus. And it must all be about him. Look at this. Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 18. It's actually continuing what we've just read. It says this about Jesus. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Praise Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, that in this kingdom we have a king who is supreme over all of the universe, over absolutely every single thing that we see and that we don't see. We have a king, and he is powerful, and his name is Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that even demons tremble at the mention of his name. I do deliverance reasonably often, and what I'd love to say is the name of Jesus, because they know, they have no dispute in who the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is. Sometimes, friends, unfortunately, we do. We wrestle. You know, sometimes like, oh, Lord, you know, are you king in everything in my life? I need faith, Lord, just to get through this day. Lord, be king. And he is king. But sometimes we have to appropriate that in our hearts sometimes. But the truth is, friends, that we are in an amazing kingdom with Jesus is our king, and he is powerful. And we are citizens in this kingdom, friends. We are citizens in this kingdom, and we're called to be ambassadors of the kingdom. So it's like, you've probably heard, I don't know how you've done a number of weeks probably on evangelism. Have you touched anything on the kingdom of God? Okay, so I won't belabor the point. But the reality is that we are called to walk in the same power that Jesus has. Not because we are powerful, he's the power. But we can do stuff in his name because we're ambassadors of the kingdom. It's like we're endorsed by God to say, you can represent me in this world. And because I'm powerful, when you walk in my name, there will be power. There should be power. Friends, the gospel is good, obviously. The gospel is amazing. But we aren't changed by eloquent words. You didn't give your life to Jesus, if you've given your life to Jesus this morning, because it was the most fantastically rounded message that was just so wonderful in its eloquence. It was just so beautifully from beginning to end. He just took me on this journey, and I just absolutely loved it so much. I just thought, wow, what a brilliant word, and now I must give my life to God. Now, we must put the message together well. It's important that you know the gospel. Do you know the gospel? Have you appropriated? You're going to knock on doors very, very soon. Do you know the gospel? Do you know how to say the gospel? To be clear with who Jesus is and what he's done on the cross? You need to. But let me tell you, the friends is not in how well I say it. The power, friends. The power is in Jesus Christ. He comes and backs that word. Look at the scripture. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. The power is in the gospel because Jesus is the good news. Jesus is the gospel. He is the power. And so although we must be able to talk about the gospel and knock on doors and know what we're saying, it's very important, we also must rely in Jesus going with us as we bring the word to work in people's hearts. As we are faithful, he comes and does something powerful in their lives and sets them free. Amen. If you gave your life to Jesus, this is what happened to you. I remember for me, I was 14 years old. I was invited to a youth group because a girl smarked me and she invited me. She says, Ant, come with me to the hippest youth. You can hear how young I am by the word hip. Come to the coolest youth and you will have a great time. And I said, absolutely. I did not go because I wanted to worship. I did not go because I couldn't wait to hear the word of God. I went because this cool girl invited me to youth, and I thought, that'll be great. Thank you very much. And so I went to Harvest at the time, was a big youth, and I went there, and long story short, I heard the gospel. And in that moment, friends, I didn't even think about that girl anymore, because I was captivated by this Jesus that I was hearing about, this amazing good news of the gospel that grabbed my very heart. I don't know who the youth pastor was to this day. I don't know who he is. Hopefully in heaven one day I'll see him again. I'll say, thank you so much. Because as he delivered that message, what happened to me, I was sitting on a cushion, and it's just like the penny dropped. Like what he is sharing is truth. It's real. And I'd heard it before. I went to Sunday school, even though my parents weren't saved. I went to Sunday school. I'd been in my previous youth and would have heard the word of God. But it was that evening when I heard the gospel and something happened inside of me. And then he said, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I'm not going to make it easy for you. Come to the front. Because if you honor me before God, he will honor you before men. I thought, oh, my word. And I thought, okay, Lord. And you know, friends, my life has never been the same again. Amen. Amen. Same thing for you. Our lives are never, because we're out of the kingdom of darkness and we're in the kingdom of light. And we have an awesome God and we have inheritance in Jesus Christ. It's absolutely amazing. So what changed me? You know, to this day, I can't remember what he said. I have no idea. But what I can remember is being touched powerfully by the Holy Spirit. I remember something of like a liquid jar pouring warmth all over me. It was just the most amazing feeling. I now know that was Holy Spirit, just his love coming over me and touching me powerfully. And it's those memories that have stuck with me. It's the power of God in the gospel. Jesus in the gospel. He is the good news and he is what we share and he is powerful. I'll give a quick story. In 1741, in the 8th of July, in Enfield in Connecticut, there was a thin preacher called Jonathan Edwards. And he came to preach a message that is probably the most famous message in American theology, in American history. And that is, sinners in the hands of an angry God. Have you heard about it? Well, let me tell you, what happened was, as he was sharing, the Holy Spirit was powerfully touching people. He gave the story about a spider above a fire. And he says, you are like a spider above the fire. And he said this, it is nothing but his hand that holds you from falling into the fire every moment. He was just saying, you are there by the grace of God that you aren't in the fires of hell. It was so powerful that people were screaming. They were holding onto pews and wooden pillars so that wouldn't slip into hell. It was the conviction of the power of God on his words that caused people to adjust and give their lives to Jesus Christ. So friends, when you go and knock on that door in a couple of weeks' time, you must trust for the power of God. You don't have to worry about your words. I mean, know what you say, of course. But trust for the power of God to come alongside what you're saying to touch people's lives. Okay, we are running out of time because I do just want us to pray. Can I give you some examples of power evangelism in the Bible? Okay, I want to read one with you. It's a meaty bit of scripture, but it's good. It's about Philip and the Ethiopian. Okay, have you read it recently? Okay, good. Acts chapter 8, 26 to 40. This is what it says. It's quite a big story, but there's some great things we can pull from it. Okay, so let's read it together. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Okay, how's that? An angel says to you, okay, this is what you need to go do. This is his proverbial knocking on a door, right? It was on a desert road between Jerusalem and Gaza. As he started out and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in the charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, so he's now being led by the power of God, right? It's amazing. Go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Jesus ran up to the chariot, Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. Oh, well, how about that? Here I am. What a coincidence. I think not. I would say divine appointment. Thank you very much. Because now I can explain to you what you are reading, which I think is Isaiah, right? So I think it's chapter 53. And so he read this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Right there, he knew what to say. He was armed with the gospel, but he was working with Holy Spirit. Awesome, hey? The combination of declaration and manifestation. It's both. It's amazing. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" He gave orders to stop the chariot, and then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Now, friends, he would not have got baptized unless he got saved, because Philip knew what he was talking about. He was talking about Jesus, right? So we can assume in the scripture that he got saved. So he got baptized. And Philip, however, so when they came out of the water, the Spirit of God suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Salvation brings rejoicing. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and we get joy. How's this, guys? For a bit of a God moment. I mean, can you imagine you getting baptized by your buddy, your new buddy that you just met along this desert road, and suddenly he disappears before your very eyes? I mean, either you're going crazy or, oh my hat, that's a sign and a wonder. That's God, friends. That's powerful. I want to tell you that there is a theologian called Irenaeus, a Greek theologian of the second century, that states that the Ethiopian church was birthed by this Ethiopian eunuch. He came with such excitement, such joy about receiving the gospel, understanding the gospel message, and seeing the power of God at work, that it changed his life forever. An entire nation was impacted for Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? I'll give you two quick other stories from the Bible. Is that okay? Okay, so of power evangelism. Acts chapter 9, 32 to 35. This is about Aeneas. Let's read this together. As Peter traveled across the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydia. There he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll your mat." Who heals? Jesus heals. Immediately, Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Sign and a wonder. Get up, be healed. Suddenly, what happens? The two villages are turned to Jesus. So what happened, friends? Well, something powerful happened. Power. And evangelism came along off the back of that power, and two villages find Jesus. Absolutely amazing. So sometimes Holy Spirit can be used by you to open up people's eyes to the gospel. Some people might be very, very cold, friends, to the gospel. How amazing would it be if the power of God came alongside us, like Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and said, "Okay, let me just show you how real God is." Wow, oh my word. I'll share with a quick story about me. This was something that I saw with my gran. My gran grew up in the Plymouth Brethren, very strict religious sect. I think they were probably knew about Jesus, but they're quite strict. And my gran didn't follow them anymore, and then married my grandfather and lived life. And I remember many, many times talking to my gran about the importance of Jesus Christ. But she'd always say to me, "But aunt, I'm a good person. I do good things. I'm a good person. That's enough." Like, and I would say, "Gran, it's not, because we are objects of wrath. We need the goodness of Jesus." And many, many times over years, we'd have these discussions. Then my grandfather passed away, and then one afternoon in my grand's kitchen, she was saying to me, and my brother Paul was with me, she was saying to us, "Aunt, I am so needing sleep. I can't sleep because my arm is sore all the time. I can't lie on my arm. I can't turn. My arm is just sore all the time." And I just thought, okay, here's an opportunity. I said, "Gran, can Paul and I pray for you?" And my gran said, "Yes." Now, Jesus, you have to do something now. We just prayed. I just prayed healing over my gran's arm. Then we said amen. And then I said, "Gran, do you feel anything?" She said, "I do. I feel heat moving up and down my arm. Just up and down, up and down." And I knew, that's Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness, he's touching my gran. This is amazing. And then I said to my gran, "Gran, That is Holy Spirit, and he's burning up sickness. That's what I felt to say to him, burning up pain. That's Holy Spirit. Why would God touch you? It's because he loves you. And he loves you so much that he wants to touch you. But Gran, the love of Jesus is fulfilled by you actually receiving him as Lord and Savior. Because the greatest sickness, I don't think I said this, but the greatest sickness is sin. And we can't rid ourselves of the sickness of sin except for Jesus Christ. I said, Gran, would you like to give your life to Jesus? And she said, yes. And my brother and I had the privilege of leading my Gran in her 80s to Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful to God for that. Praise the Lord. I remember speaking to her a couple of days later. I said, Gran, how's your arm? She said, Aunt, I haven't slept so well in months, Like, friends, I'm just so grateful to God. It wasn't in my words. We must pray well. We must pray in faith. But it was in the power of Jesus that opened up her eyes to the gospel. And there was maybe a way for me to share quite easily about Jesus. All the years of debating with her didn't do anything. That moment with the power of the Holy Spirit, there was change. Okay. Last 5 minutes. Can I read one more story to you? Okay. In Acts chapter 9, 36 to 42, the very next bunch of verses after Aeneas. Listen to this. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. Poor girl, no wonder she changed her name to Tabitha. She was always doing good and helping the poor. Where am I? Sorry, my iPad closed. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Once again, the power of God coming to touch somebody. People's eyes are open to the goodness of Jesus because it's Jesus that heals. The gospel is shared, and many people believed in the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Okay, so I'm going to move. There's much more to say. But I want to move to this. Friends, we need the power of God. Jesus said that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Now, friends, the disciples and apostles did not go to the ends of the earth, obviously. They died. So that word isn't just for them. It's for us today. That word can be fulfilled in us today because God has called us to go to the ends of the earth. You can hop on a plane now and go anywhere in the world if you wanted to. But you will be God's witnesses when you receive power. There was an order there. How did the disciples receive power? Well, we know in Pentecost that they were filled with the Spirit. Tongues of fire came on them. A rushing wind came in the room. Tongues of fire came. They were filled with the Spirit. And then Peter preaches in power, and 3,000 people get saved, and bam, there's the early church. Meeting number one in the temple courts, 3,000 people worshiping Jesus because Peter, filled with the Spirit, preached with power. What I felt to do this morning, and that's why I'm rushing through the rest, is because I feel, what I felt for you this week is that very scripture. For you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. If we want to walk in power evangelism, we need to receive the Holy Spirit and be touched by him. And so what I felt for this morning for you is to make it open. And what we're going to do, friends, is we're going to touch for the power of God to touch our lives. Amen. Do you believe Holy Spirit will want to touch your life? Do you? Do you want Holy Spirit to touch you? Friends, I tell you what, I want more of Holy Spirit. I need more of Holy Spirit. If I'm going to be impactful in this world, if we want to walk out evangelism, well, we need to receive Holy Spirit. How did they do that? Well, I'm going to tell you a scripture that I think we can look at, and that's Luke chapter 11, verses 9 to 13, and we're going to end with this. It says this, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion?" Now this is the key, verse 13, look at this. "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"